You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Don't Cry for Me. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
This is the time in the church year called the Lenten season. Toward the end of this six-week period, parades and processions fill the streets in the Philippines, in Mexico, in Brazil, and other countries. Dedicated Christians move through the streets, carrying lifelike replicas of the crucified Christ. Many parade participants are filled with grief and even overcome with emotion as they view the often larger-than-life statues showing the wounded and beaten Christ. Now, one can certainly understand the emotional involvement of those who claim to follow Christ as they see his bloody suffering. However, one key question looms large. Is this teary and sobbing emotional response, is this what the crucified and resurrected Christ desires? Does Jesus desire that we get all worked up and teary-eyed and emotionally overcome by viewing a reenactment of his suffering and death? The answer is no. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 23, we read the description of Jesus approaching Calvary, that hill where his enemies would nail our Lord Jesus Christ to the cross. The Bible explains that after his trial and after Jesus had been declared guilty, they led him away. And there were following him, the Bible says, a great multitude of people. Many women were mourning and lamenting him. Jesus, however, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." These ringing and stinging words of Jesus were meant not only for those who were with Jesus as he walked the torturous trail to Calvary 2,000 years ago, but these same words, "Weep not for me, weep for yourselves," are meant for us also and for our nation today in 1997. If we examine the sinful state of our secular society, we will immediately see shocking statistics. Since 1973, 30% of all unborn babies have been murdered. 30% of our younger population has been totally wiped out. At every high school graduation nowadays across the nation, every third chair is empty. And when we see this hellish horror of abortion, we are reminded again of Jesus' words, "Stop weeping for me. Stop weeping for me. Stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves. Judgment Day is coming." And on the basis of the Bible's clear teaching, you and I can be sure that the tragedy of abortion, the mass killing of the unborn, is not going unnoticed by God, and neither will it go unpunished by our Lord. For he who does wrong, the Bible says, will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Every struggle for life in the womb, every attempt by the unborn to escape the abortionist tools of murder, whether it be the tongs or the suction device or some other thing, each of these acts will be redressed by our God of holiness and our God of righteousness. And once this judgment begins, there will be no stopping. Just recently, I picked up a copy of U.S. News and World Report. I could not believe my eyes. The front cover headline stated, "America is, by far, the world's leading producer of pornography, churning out hardcore videos at the rate of about 150 new titles every week." Now, our nation's willful and wanton sins are on display, not only in the abortion holocaust and in the mass production of pornography, but also in our daily indifference to both God's holy word and his gracious will. In the third of God's Ten Commandments, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The great reformer Martin Luther, in explaining this important commandment from the Bible, wrote, "We should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it." When you and I go for days and weeks and even months without reading or hearing God's Word, we are then despising His Word. This is a very grave and serious sin. And when you or I refuse to attend God's house of worship regularly, we are then again despising the preaching and teaching of His holy Word. Our sinful indifference to God's almighty and life-giving Word irritates His anger. Our rebellion inflames His righteous wrath. And it is also for this reason that in this Lenten season, when we so like to feel sorry for Jesus, that we need to hear again and again and again His words ring out clearly, "Stop weeping for me. Stop weeping for me. Weep for yourselves." You see, unless you and I repent of our sins, our judgment as an individual and as a nation is surely coming. And so now is the moment. Now is the time. Lent is a time for serious reflection, and Lent is also a time for each of us to take stock of who we are and how we relate to God. Lent is a time for you and me to consider seriously what we deserve because of our sins according to the Bible. You see, too often we go through life evaluating our life as compared to the life of others. We prefer to compare ourselves to our neighbors or to others where we work or where we go to school. In so doing, we think that we can then manage to wiggle our way along and also to convince God that He should accept our self-righteousness. No way! You see, when we take stock of our real spiritual condition, we then hear Jesus saying again and again, "Stop weeping for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." You see, if we insist on shedding tears for our Lord, let us then weep not that Christ is suffering, but that it was our terrible sins that caused Him to suffer and to be whipped and to bleed and to die. Isaiah the prophet states it directly. "Surely our griefs Jesus Himself bore, and our sorrows He carried. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Him." In Galatians chapter 3, St. Paul writes, "Christ became a curse for us." The Apostle Peter writes, "Christ died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust." In Hebrews chapter 9, we read, "Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many." The Apostle John writes that Jesus appeared in order to take away sins. My friend, today in 1997, Jesus is asking you to acknowledge the sins that you have committed. Jesus is asking you to understand the seriousness of your sin. And with love, your Savior is asking you to weep over your sin and to repent of your failures. And in all of this, Jesus does not want you to despair. But instead, in repentance and faith, your Savior desires that you cling to Him and His saving righteousness, which He will graciously give to you. Yes, Jesus will save you. Now, most people today believe that while their life may not be all that good, they at least enjoy a reasonable relationship with God, which they feel in the end should get them by. They probably haven't been perfect, they think, but they feel at least that they have been good enough to make the grade. And if Jesus would return today, maybe they would not be among the saints, but then neither would they be condemned. My friend, this is foolish and very dangerous thinking. There is no such thing as doing fairly well in God's eyes. The Bible says that whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in only one point, he becomes guilty of all. You may be one of those husbands or fathers who has tried to raise a good family and help your children in every possible way. This is very, very commendable. Your home may not have been wrecked by divorce. Nevertheless, you realize deep down in your heart that oftentimes you could have done a better job. You could have been more loving instead of vengeful toward your children. And you could have been more helpful to your wife with tasks around the house instead of being lazy and indifferent. Or maybe you are a wife and mother who feels like you have done pretty well in life. And perhaps even as you enter your local church, you feel a little bit better than some of the other folks who walk in, and in whose life there obviously has been failure. In many of these cases, it might just be fashionable nowadays in our society to think highly of ourselves. But before God, however, this is not acceptable. When you and I compare our vanity, our indifference, and our arrogance with God's perfection and holiness, then we begin to understand why Jesus warned those who pitied him as he made his way to the cross. And this is also why Jesus said, "Weep not for me, weep for yourselves and for your children." And so then, unless you and I are willing to turn away from trusting in our own self-righteousness, and unless we are willing to cast aside our feelings of Phariseeism, God will never, ever permit. No, he will never, ever permit you and me to enter into his kingdom. At the same time, God is a God of grace. He's a Lord of love and a God of unconditional forgiveness. Through the death and resurrection of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God indeed not only permits us, but he actually enables us and helps us by his grace and power. He transfers us to his kingdom. The Apostle Paul writes, "For God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins." Oh, indeed, I know. You may feel that by my asking you to weep over your sins, I am making a mountain out of a molehill. Don't be deceived, however. If I, as an ordained clergyman, fail to proclaim the clear teachings of Christ, and instead preach only that which I prefer, or that which people hope to hear, I then come under the very judgment of God. In the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 18, we read, "But the prophet who shall speak a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he shall speak in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die." Therefore, I am bound today, in 1997, to sound the same warning that Jesus gave as he wound his way painfully up the hill of Calvary and unto his own bloody crucifixion. "Weep not for me," Jesus said, "weep for yourselves." And so then in 1997, in a day when indifference to the warning words of Jesus are in fashion, and in an era when holiness and the wrath of God are made light of, let us instead hear the warning words of Jesus again and again, "Weep not for me, weep not for me, weep for yourselves." Let us then also sing with deep meaning in our hearts that great hymn of the Vigilant Church, reflecting the warnings of Jesus centuries ago, the hymn writer wrote, "The day is surely drawing near when God's Son, the Anointed, shall with great majesty appear as judge of all appointed. All mirth and laughter then shall cease, when flames on flames will still increase, as Scripture truly teacheth. A book is opened then to all, a record truly telling what each hath done, both great and small, when he on earth was dwelling. And every heart be clearly seen, and all be known as they have been, in thoughts and words and actions. Then woe to those who scorned the Lord, and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word, and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judge's stern command, to Satan be delivered. O Jesus, who my debt didst pay, and for my sin was smitten, within the book of life, O may my name be also written. I will not doubt, I trust in thee, from Satan thou hast made me free, and from all condemnation." O Lord, we pray, when you speak to us today, let us not look the other way. In this Lenten season, help us both to hear and to respond to the warning words of your Son. And then, O God of grace, as our teary eyes recognize the seriousness of our sin, focus our faith on the sin-cleansing and soul-saving power of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his mercy-filled name we pray, with confidence, amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.